This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Ty Dennison. He is our tech ambassador. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
I don't know if in 2011 I ever heard the term Bitcoin. I probably heard it a couple times in 2012. I cannot get away from it in 2013. It's digital currency. Beyond that, I'm going to need some help.
Yeah, Bitcoin's a very interesting and confusing thing. Probably the biggest point of confusion is that even though it uses the term coin, it's obviously not a literal currency. And at this point, it can barely be used as a currency at all. A lot of people have, I think, rightly compared it to something more akin to gold, in that it has a commodities feel. It's something that holds value, that fluctuates, and you can invest into it. You can exchange out of it, but you can't, with some exceptions, you can't just go take your gold bars and buy yourself a car. And
so you can't, right.
And so you can't take your Bitcoin, with a few exceptions again, and buy yourself a car. And so that's where some of the just initial out-the-gate confusion of Bitcoin goes.
It's not three-dimensional.
No.
Is it peer-to-peer?
It is peer-to-peer. And what that means is, to have Bitcoin, you have to have a computer running software that's a part of what's called a peer-to-peer network. And Basically that means your computer uses the internet and your internet service provider to connect with all the other Bitcoin machines all over the world.
Much like when Napster began.
Exactly.
That was right.
Yeah, if you're familiar with file sharing programs like Napster or other ones, those services use each other's computers. And they're still a lot of other file sharing, peer-to-peer kind of things. But Bitcoin uses that same technology to replace banks and central governing bodies.
Okay.
And so you use this computer that's called a Bitcoin miner, and you have a Bitcoin wallet. And once you have amassed some Bitcoins, you save that in that peer-to-peer network, and that gets verified by all the other peer computers, and then it becomes globally known what you have.
So in that respect, it is currency.
Yes.
Among the people who are in this with you.
Right. In that respect, it is currency.
How do I amass? You said once I've amassed some Bitcoins, how do I digitally ask for Bitcoins?
Well, you could digitally ask for Bitcoins. Some people are taking Bitcoin as payment for services. Some web developers or people whose business is largely online are now debating to what degree they accept or do not accept Bitcoin. Obviously, buying Bitcoin is the easiest way to get it. Mm-hmm. One Bitcoin, I believe today, is $160.
Okay.
Or perhaps $130. And that fluctuates wildly. That's one of the things about Bitcoin is how volatile it is.
Again, a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I mean, just last month, it skyrocketed to $260 a Bitcoin, and then dropped to $130, and now it's somewhere between $130 and $160. Part of the huge bump was the euro. Everybody panicked the euro. Everyone is looking for alternatives to their currency of choice because, with the economic crises that are taking over and becoming a part of people's daily considerations, they want to feel more secure. They want something that seems almost agnostic of national issues, and Bitcoin provides that because it's global and not national.
So what can I do once I've amassed my Bitcoins? You said that in some instances I can trade it for services.
Right.
What else would I do with it? Just
there are Bitcoin exchanges.
Okay.
Where you would, much like you've got excesses currencies, you go on a trip to Europe and you've got euros and you come back and you change them out. There are Bitcoin exchanges that will change your Bitcoins into money for a fee. And then on top of that, there are you buying peer-to-peer. So if someone else carries Bitcoin, uses Bitcoin, they have products to sell or goods and wares and services, then you can exchange in Bitcoin based on what they have. There are a list of businesses that are starting to take them. Howard Johnson, you can now
that is not what I thought.
No, that
you were
one that
say.
One came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Howard Johnson.
Howard Johnson, the hotel chain, will now let you book a hotel with Bitcoins. That's pretty good. Pizza Hut. Domino's.
Uh-huh.
There's pizzaforcoins.com is a place to go and buy pizza with Bitcoins. People have sold cars through Bitcoins. eBay and PayPal are both looking
That makes sense.
At integrating with Bitcoin. And so that list just keeps growing as the demand for places to spend your Bitcoin continues to grow. Somebody's going to take your Bitcoin.
So, and it's you know, I can go online or call Domino's or, you know, any pizza service with a credit card and order. But Bitcoin is different from a credit card or a debit card, or from a credit card especially, I guess, because there's no interest.
Right.
And the retailer, unlike a debit card that might – a little fraction might go to the company that holds that debit card, Visa or MasterCard or whatever, 100% would then go to the retailer?
Well, none of the retailers literally do it themselves yet. So you go to pizzaforcoin.com.
Pizzaforcoin.com
is going to take a percentage of that, and then they're going to give Domino's Pizza the money that they want for their pizza.
I see.
Minus what they take. And so services like this will continue to arise. And then there's a whole other side of the Bitcoin world where there's actually the Bitcoin miners. That's how Bitcoin currency is generated.
M-I-N-E-R-S.
Yeah, M-I-N-E-R-S, to kind of jump back to how the currency is produced. So with the U.S., the government decides we need more cash in circulation, and so it generates more cash. With Bitcoin, it's generated randomly, and the way that it's generated is there are algorithms generated, basically mathematical problems to solve. And as you solve these problems as an individual, you get a Bitcoin. And they have – when Bitcoin first came out, the problems were fairly simple, and just using a basic computer that's capable of mathematics. Of higher mathematic computation, you could solve these, and as a result, you would earn a Bitcoin. That puts another Bitcoin into circulation. Well, over time, because of the way that the gentleman who started Bitcoin, who we still don't really know who it is, it was created under a pseudonym, and we still don't know who it was that really started Bitcoin. The design was that it would increase in difficulty over time to regulate flow, and so as time goes on, less Bitcoin enters the market because the problems get harder. Well, because this is something for lack of a less – it's not a mean term anymore. As this is something highly geek-oriented,
yes.
My brothers in the geek community have said, we'll fix that. Hard math. I'll show you. I'll get a better computer. And so that's what they've done. They've gotten bigger computers, and – they decided that video cards were able to process the mathematic computations faster than just normal computers. And so they've taken video cards and converted them. And there's a company, I believe it's ASICs, that's used to be a video card manufacturer. And now all they do is manufacture chips for Bitminer computers that you can buy a Bitmining computer for, I think, $1,800. Mm. And you just let it sit, and it crunches on these computations that come out and tries to get them before anyone else does. And so that's and as you get those, you amass coin, and that's free Bitcoin. You've made your initial investment for the cost of the mining computer, the miner, but after that they're free.
All right, well, we're going to pay you for this segment in Bitcoin.
All right, I'll take one Bitcoin.
Okay.
Maybe half.
Okay, Ty Dennison is our tech ambassador. Thank you, Ty.
Thank you.